Welcome to Demand and Disrupt the Disability Podcast. Here, we will learn to advocate for ourselves and each other. This podcast is supported with funds from the Advocado Press based in Louisville, Kentucky.
Welcome, everyone, to Demand and Disrupt. I am Kimberly Parsley, and I'm here today back with Lisa McKinley. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Hey, good. Glad to be back.
We missed you. I'm great. Sam Moore sat in for you 2 weeks ago. He did a great job. He's always wonderful to talk to, but I'm glad to have you back today.
Glad to be here.
So today I'm going to be talking about, in the interview segment, I'm going to talk with Alexandra Ingram and Sarah Richardson about the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund. And I encourage everyone to listen to that segment because what it talks about is this is a way that people with disabilities can get 0% interest loans to be paid back over time for assistive technology goods and services, which I think is fabulous, just amazing. So now that begs the question, Lisa, if you could have any piece of assistive technology, what would you get?
Gosh. I know what I want and I know what I don't want. I'd love a braille display with multi lines of braille. And what I would not want is, it seems to be a big thing that a lot of people are talking about, is a driverless car. No, I don't want to mess with that.
You know what? I would, my husband wants me to get a driverless car so he can stop carting me and my kids all over the place. As long as I didn't have to give Elon Musk any money, I could go for a driverless car, although I suspect that this is not, they would not get us a driverless car.
I have trust issues. Okay. My Windows crashes enough as it is. Like, I don't want a car ran on a computer operating system.
Rightly so. Yeah, I think we have rightly so. You have the trust issues with the technology. So, and the braille display that you're talking about, that would be the one that, or well, the big one that all the blind folks are excited about is the Monarch that's being developed, I think, by American Printing House for the Blind. That's yes. The one you're all excited. Yeah. I believe that's the fancy one that can do like tactile graphics and everything, right?
Yes. And there's also a company out of England that has a 9-line braille display. It's so expensive though. So, and I know the one coming from American Printing House for the Blind is a little more cost effective, I think. So I really want that. And I want it so that I can, you know, be a better reader. So that will translate to a better writer is what I'm hoping.
I get that. I don't actually know why I want, I don't want the Monarch because honestly, the little tiny braille display that I have right now just has 14 cells and I'm overwhelmed with that. I would like to have, there's one called the Chameleon because it has text, it has speech with it. And I am so slow with braille that I the text, the speech help would be great for me to do that, which begs the question, why do we push ourselves? Why are we pushing ourselves at this point in life to learn these new skills? You know,
that's an interesting question. I mean, what, you stop growing, then you start. I don't know. I just think it's important to continuously strive for something, at least for me, because if not, but then at the same time, you're at the point in your life, you're like, no, I've done this too long. I don't care. Like for me, like if you bring anything into the house that I have to wash and clean by hand, it's not going to happen. Like the clothes need to be washing machine safe and all the dishes need to go in the dishwasher. If not,
amen, sister. Amen, sister.
I'm not hand washing your stinking coffee tumbler so that the print letters on the face doesn't come off in the dishwasher. No.
Yeah.
I'm here. But then with things like the technology, you know, that's, I feel like it's worthwhile to, you know, you're making new brain connections and keeping sharp.
I agree. I mean, to a certain degree, I think I may just be glutton for punishment. And why don't I just let myself accept that I've reached the point in life where I'm allowed to coast, you know, but I don't, think I'm a, I don't think I'm a coaster kind of person, honestly.
You're too brilliant. You're too brilliant.
I don't
to ever
think it's a learning. Brilliant issue. You I are. Really don't think. Bless your heart for lying. It's so sweet. I think it's for me, the Braille is like, you know, there's people who are sighted can read print books, but they like to be able to listen to audiobooks as well. And I think for me, it's that I consume most of my, of course, I read books all the time. I heard someone refer to themselves as a Velosa reader, which I love. That's probably me. I'm really voracious in my reading. But I would like to experience it, you know, not always in an audible format, just in like maybe tactile or something. That would be nice to be able to do, you know, especially poetry or something. I don't necessarily want to have it read to me. So,
you know what else I think would be nice to be able to read Braille in is when you're out somewhere, maybe like at a restaurant or at a coffee shop and, or a doctor's office, and you're waiting for someone and you're alone, you can just pull out the Braille and read it, and then you won't be sitting there feeling so awkward. Because if I'm just sitting there waiting for someone and I'm by myself and I'm unconnected to anyone else, I just feel really awkward. So to pull out the Braille and to read it, just like in the same way others are sitting around a coffee shop reading something, like, to me that would be really cool. I'm just insecure though.
And it's different. You have that idea that everybody's watching you or something.
Yes.
I find myself putting in AirPods a lot more than I used to, just because I'm like, I think we all were just so bored. You know, we just can't allow ourselves to be bored anymore. Can't allow the mind to wander. It's like, oh, if I have 30 seconds of free time, I have to, I mean, I'm told sighted people whip out their phones, you know, and stuff all the time. So,
yeah.
You know, so, but anyway, fascinating. There are lots of people who need these devices, you know. Not, it's for me and you, it's kind of like a stretch, you know, it's a letting us stretch a little bit, but for some people they are basic necessities. And so I'm so thrilled that these opportunities are out there for people to get the goods and services that they need. So I think that's wonderful. I have some sad news that I want to report to our listeners. Good friend of the show, Steve Moore, who did our transcripts for us, passed away on March 11th. Gosh, I just don't know of a more positive, delightful person to have met. And I'm just so, so glad that I got to have him in my life, even if, you know, he did our transcripts for us and was just such a joy.
And it was a sad thing to hear of his passing. And I wish I would have got to know him more and better. We just briefly connected, and he is one of those people when you first talk to them, you know, oh my gosh, there's something amazing and incredible about this person. He was just so kind. And
yes,
that's what I will remember about him.
Yes, me too. Just so kind, delightful, positive. It just wonderful person. Steve Moore passed away on March 10th. If you want to go back and listen to my interview with Steve, it is an episode entitled The Business of Care. I will put a link to that episode in the show notes for everyone to go back and listen to. And I'm glad that I did that interview. It's out there and it's archived, and people who aren't going to get the chance to know Steve can still, you know, absorb some of that delightful positivity that he had. And now we're going to move on to my interview with Alex Ingram and Sarah Richardson. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I am here with Alex Ingram from Florence. Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you. And I'm also joined by Sarah Richardson, who is in Frankfurt. Hello, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you both for joining me. We are going to talk about financing, which is such an important part of life, but not that sexy or interesting to talk about. You all are going to demystify it for me, and I am so excited to have you. So we're going to talk about the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund. So can you start by, so Alex, can you tell me a little, what is the AATLF, as you say?
Yeah. So it, like you said, stands for the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund. And they are a nonprofit organization that tries to connect people with disabilities with the needed services and devices. And so some of the AT that they would cover, really AT, I want to describe what assistive technology is first. So really it's any piece of equipment that people would use to improve or maintain their abilities. And some examples of assistive technology that ATLF would cover would be things like ramps, hearing and vision aids, scooters, lift chairs, smart home technology, speech and communication devices, as well as like computers and tablets with special software or hardware on them. And so some of those things are devices that wouldn't traditionally be covered by insurance. So AATLF does a really good job of looking at what the disability is and ensuring that they're covering things that would support the individual. That loan program, they'll provide loans from $100 to $7,000. And the best piece of it is that there's no fee or interest rate associated with the loans, which is usually a huge barrier to somebody securing or applying for a loan. And then they will allow for up to 48 months or 4 years of repayment of the loan. And the payments, like that repayment, could be as low as $20 a month. So they really try and make sure that it's an easy payment and it's something that somebody can afford when they're providing that loan out.
I see. Did you say 0% interest?
Yep. Yeah. It's
Wow.
unreal.
It is. It is. That is amazing. I have always been under the impression that if you didn't have like an open case with OBR to handle stuff like that, that you're just out of luck for things like braille displays that can be very expensive, you know. So this is great information to know. And also, I've seen assistive technology services. Can one of you tell me what that means?
That can go along with the device. So maybe you need training to start learning how to actually use the piece that you were given, or maybe it needs repair. Something like a drive, like an adapted driving lesson could be covered. They'll also do coverage for like a home repair or home modifications. So kind of maybe installing a ramp or widening a doorway, they'll cover that, as well as like the installation of smart home technology. So it's really nice. It's not only the piece of equipment, but they'll also cover the services around that equipment too.
Okay. What is the price range of loans that would be covered under this? I believe they refer to it as a mini loan.
Yeah. So the loans that they'll provide are from $100 to $7,000.
Okay. And Sarah, can you tell me maybe what if someone's assistive technology needs are greater than that $7,000 threshold?
Well, there are some programs where you can do blended funding for a piece of assistive technology. For example, insurance may, pay for a portion, but then we could possibly do the loan for the remaining portion if it's within that $100 to $7,000 range. Also, one thing I would like to point out is that we can't do loans after an individual has already purchased the device or if they are already in a financing option with someone else. So we have to be on the front end. We can't do loans after the fact.
So no reimbursement program sort of thing, right?
Right.
And how does the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund make decisions about approval for loans?
So that's a process. An individual would submit their application and their information would be go through a credit reporting process, just like if you were applying for a loan at a regular financial lending institution. And there would be either an approve or deny decision. However, what makes this more unique is that if the loan is denied, then the denial would go to a committee of individuals who are on the board of directors, And those individuals would look at the credit information and would look at the application information and then could possibly override the denial of that loan. And then the loan would then in turn be approved. Typically, if an individual's credit score is a 620 or above, it's typically an automatic approval. If it's a 620 or below, then that committee will look at it. There have been a lot of loans that have been done for individuals that have a zero credit score, and also individuals whose credit scores, you know, are in the low 400s, because let's face it, there's not a lot of opportunities for individuals with disabilities to establish positive credit. There's usually medical collection debt showing, you know, in a credit file for an individual. So, you know, that secondary review is a very unique feature, because any regular financial lending institution would stick with the automatic denial.
Well, that's great that there is that other option to be able to, I guess, appeal a denial, because you're right. So many disabled people live in poverty and can't get the job because they need the assistive technology to do the job, right?
Right. And the other nice thing about the program is that if an individual is approved for the loan and they make their monthly payments on time, that those on-time payments are reported to the three credit bureaus. So then that allows for the individual to establish a positive credit file. And again, if the person doesn't make their payments, that is also reported as well. But we do have in place a mechanism. If an individual, let's say that they lost their job, if they will contact us, then we can work with them to make sure that, you know, that the payments are being made and that they're not late in their reporting to the credit bureaus. So, you know, communication is a key factor if an individual is experiencing trouble in repaying their loan. And, you know, we have a couple of mechanisms that we can work with them on to help with that.
Sarah, you work with the Kentucky Assistive Technology Loan Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me, how is that affiliated with the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund?
Right now, the Kentucky Assistive Technology Loan Corporation is inactive because we are in the process of locating a lending partner to be able to do loans 7,000 and above. We lost our lending partner. They chose to go in a different direction. And so we are looking for a financial institution that would be willing to work with us to do the loans that are 7,000 and above. And if anybody out there in the banking world would want to give me a call, I would definitely take that call.
Sounds good. That's what we strive to do, right? Make those connections. Now, Alex, you are with the Kentucky Assistive Technology Service. So can you tell me a little about CATS and what they do?
Yeah. So CATS Network is Kentucky's AT Act program. And so what we do is we try and make sure that Kentuckians with disabilities have access to needed assistive technology. And we do this through our centers that are throughout the state. They have devices on site that are available for demonstration, loan, and then they do refurbish and then give away equipment. So anything that would be donated to a center, we get it cleaned up and in working order and then back out to people for free.
That's great. That helps out a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. But of course, we don't have everything. So that's nice that the AATLF is able to come in and help people get the equipment they need when we may not have it available at the time.
Another unique component of that is that if the CATS network does have the device, then the person could check it out through one of the AT centers and try it out and see if it really works for them before spending money on the device. And then they can come to us to, you know, get the loan for the purchase of it.
And they would do that through reaching out to one of their centers for independent living, like the Center for Accessible Living, where I am here in Bowling Green, or going to the CATSnet website, right?
Yep.
What is the web address for that?
So we have two different websites. So we have our general page, but then we also have an AT locator website. So I can give you both of those.
Sure. Go for it. And I'll put those in the show notes, but go ahead and tell us what they are now.
So just our general CATS network website is katsnet.org. And then our AT locator website, where you can go on and search for equipment and see where it's at in our network, is CATSNET, and it's KATSNET.AT, the number 4, all.com.
Okay, great. And I will, again, I'll put those in the show notes for people who just want to link to straight from there. And so I guess the really important question is, how does someone apply for funding from the Appalachian Assistive Technology Loan Fund? Now I've got it down. I just like to say it. I just like to.
Well, that's really easy. Individual would need to get the loan application. A couple of ways an individual can get that. As Alex had mentioned, it is on the CATS website, but it is also on the KETLC website, which is www.katlc.ky.gov. Or you can give me a call at 1-877-675-0195. Now, I will tell you that the application itself is a little long, but it just, we have, you know, information that we have to ask, you know, to be able to apply for the loan, but they would complete the application packet. And then we would also need two forms of identification. One of those would have to be a photo ID, and the other one could be such item as a utility bill with the current address on it, or a medical insurance card. We also need proof of income, and that can, depending upon what is submitted, we could either need just one thing, or we would need 2 years of an item. For example, W-2s, we would need two of those. But if somebody had their disability award letter, we would just need that one copy of it. We would need an official price quote from the vendor that the individual wants the assistive technology from. And that quote would need to be very specific in naming whatever the device is and if there are other features or warranties that they want on there. And once we get all that information in, then I look it over, make sure that, you know, it's been signed and initialed in the appropriate spots. And gosh, we always forget our social security numbers on there. So make sure that those items are on there. And then I send it to our underwriter. And our underwriter will do the credit pull, and then we'll notify the individual if the loan is approved or not approved. If it's approved, then the underwriter will issue the final loan documents. And then from there, the check is cut and it is made out to the vendor and the applicant. And then they can then in turn take the check and purchase the item that they're interested in.
This sounds at its core like this is a lot of math and numbers and stuff. So that is not my forte at all. So let me just ask the broad, is there anything else that I haven't covered that you think is important for our listeners who are primarily people with disabilities or people who care for or work with people with disabilities? Is there anything that those folks need to know?
This is a wonderful tool for an individual to enter into the financial world, because not only are credit reports used for determination of whether to approve a loan, it's being used for such things, basic things as cell phones, insurance, apartment rentals. So, you know, this is a great opportunity to establish, you know, the positive credit for those things that we all need in everyday daily living. I mean, everybody needs a nice house, home, apartment to live in. So those credit scores are affecting a lot more things than what we traditionally think of. And I do encourage an individual, you know, if they're a little hesitant or you know, scared of this process, because it is a process, please don't hesitate to give us a call. I will be more than glad to walk you through the entire process for however long it takes. You know, if it takes two or three phone calls, then it takes two or three phone calls.
Okay, great. So if someone gets the application and they've got questions, they just call you up?
Please do.
Awesome. That's so great. Alex, anything else?
I always just think it's interesting to look at how Kentuckians have used AATLF. So we started this partnership in July of last year, so July 1st of 2023. And from that time to December 31st of 2023, we were able to make 16 loans and actually only one loan was denied. And most of the loans actually so far have been for hearing aids. So I just think that that's interesting. That's one piece that insurance typically won't cover. People have had the opportunity to get needed hearing aids through this program. And then the other piece of technology that was purchased is what's called a Meridyne low intensity vibration device. And so it looks almost like a scale that you would weigh yourself on, and you stand on it and it has just like a tiny little bit of vibration. And so that helps kind of like regenerate the musculoskeletal system. So it was really neat, something again that probably wouldn't necessarily be covered by insurance, that they were able to help somebody get. And all of those loans that we've made have totaled $85,912. So
oh, that's amazing. Really
a big impact. Yeah.
That is great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I am so grateful to both of you for coming on and joining us to help me share more information about this program. It sounds like it could really be a benefit to so many people.
Thank you for letting us kind of speak about the program. Hopefully somebody listening will be like, oh my gosh, like I desperately need this and that, and I can use this system to get that piece of equipment purchased.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for joining me, and I'll put all those links in the show notes, and hopefully this will benefit so many people.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
If you like the podcast, remember to follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you really like the podcast, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That helps more people to find us. If you really, really like the podcast, then please tell someone about it, either in person or send them an email or just share the link on social media. Thank you all. Every bit helps and it makes a huge difference for us. If you'd like a transcript, please send us an email to demandanddisrupt@gmail.com. and put transcript in the subject line. Thanks to Steve Moore for helping us out with transcripts. Thanks to Chris Unken for our theme music. Demand and Disrupt is a publication of the Advocato Press with generous support from the Center for Accessible Living located in Louisville, Kentucky. And you can find links to buy the book, A Celebration of Family, Stories of Parents with Disabilities, in our show notes. Thanks, everyone.
You say you've seen a change in me. Just for once, I think I would agree. We both know there's a difference. We've had our curtain call. This time the writing's on the wall. words each and every letter spells out.